Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Independence Day weekend edition of the Grilling Guys. This is the weekend as we know it, that if you ever grill at any time throughout the summer, this is when you're going to do it. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Oh, what's going to be cooking this weekend? Man, I think the whole country is just going to be a big layer of smoke.
That's right. The grilling mitts are out. The tongs are ready. And we're hoping that you get out and spend a little time. We got this 4th of July thing on Tuesday this year. I think every business on earth will be shut down on Monday as well. So we're looking at a four-day weekend. Tons of time to get out in your backyard and create grill envy in your neighborhood.
Man. Or I think a lot of people are going to be at their cottages.
Yep.
I think people are going to be at state parks and county parks.
Camping.
They could be grilling on some of those post-charcoal models, you know, with the slide up and down rack. And those do a good job.
Right.
Bring some good lump charcoal and make sure you bring some fire starters. And most of those things pivot. So if it's windy where you're at, pivot that thing so that the back end is against the wind and you'll save your clothing.
My other tip on those park grills is build a really hot fire and let it cook a minute before you put any of your food
Drop
on it.
Drop the grate down in the coals for
right.
a half hour.
Right. Let her sterilize when she when you need to, because those things sit outside. But you can always put some tinfoil on the top of them, too.
Yeah, sure you can.
We're going to talk a little tinfoil a little bit later.
No, I don't think so. I have been getting ready to build onto my house, and my son-in-law's relatives own a company called Michigan Excavating, and Sam and his boys came out a few days back, and they hauled 18 loads of dirt out of a gigantic hole
in your yard.
Front of my house.
Right.
And fortunately, I have property, so you know he's backing up into my trail into the woods, and they're dumping. And I showed you the dirt they spread around. It looks pretty cool. But there's still a giant mound of sand for backfill.
Cats are liking it.
You know, it's just beautiful, pure sand underneath the gravel and black dirt on my property. It's
right.
like it's perfect sand. So consequently, I've never had water issues or anything like that. And I think a lot of people that build or have homes already existing, you're in areas where there's clay, low, you know, high water tables, all these things, they deal with a whole different bunch of crap than I have
sure.
to deal with. But so they did a great job. And then I got this company out of Greenville called Andrews Concrete. Fantastic group of guys. And they came out, put the father-son team. They got all their employees are like family. So they came out and laid the footings one day. I mean, these guys work so hard to... First of all, the excavator
did
a great job of excavating, so they didn't have to hardly rake anything. And it's just so cool to watch this process take place. So last night I'm out there, and I'm getting ready for the show, and I'm doing things for them to get ready. And I'm looking at this massive thing going in front of my house, and it's really starting to hit me that this is going to be a butt kicker of a project.
Sure. Sure, and that's why you have good qualified people around you that can take care of those things.
One thing when it's all on paper, but when it starts taking place,
it's
intimidating.
It actually is. And speaking of intimidating, if you've got a large group of people to feed during this holiday weekend, throughout the show we're going to be giving you tips about things that maybe you can make ahead a little bit. And I've got a golf outing to do this holiday weekend, later today actually. And what I did is I put together, I was in charge of bringing one of the appetizers, right? It's going to be 12 couples when we all get there. The guys are all golfing. The girls are doing something else. And when we all convene at the end of the day, I'm one of the appetizers. So I did jalapeno.
You're one of the appetizers?
Right, yeah.
That's weird.
That didn't come out right. But anyway, I'm responsible for one of the appetizers anyway. But I did jalapeno poppers. Super easy, but have those jalapenos the lengthways. Make the little boat out of them. Take the seeds and the membrane out because that's where the heat is, right? Filled them with a little bit of pineapple, crushed pineapple, and cream cheese mix just to soften the heat a little bit. Wrapped them in thin sliced bacon and just set them in a Tupperware, big Tupperware tub. And I did these on Friday.
So you cored the jalapeno? You
know, I cut them in half and then just scooped the seeds and the membrane out. So they're little boats, okay? And then what I'm going to do is grill them on direct heat to get the bacon going and then move them up on indirect heat to finish them. They'll be on the grill 45 minutes. But that way, the little boats, they aren't a whole pepper. It's just a half a pepper. They go a little further.
How are you going to eat the bacon on top to crisp up?
That's what I'm going to do. The indirect heat, leave the lid down and let it go for about 45 minutes, and it'll crisp up and be done. But the bottom bacon will cook on the direct heat because I want the pepper to get a little bit toasted as well. You got to watch them because they'll flare up a little bit. But at the end of the day, I could make those ahead. I made them on Friday after work knowing that Saturday evening I was going to be using them. They hold fine in the refrigerator, and then when I'm ready to cook them, I take them out, put them on the grill, whatever time it is. You know, if we get there late, early, you know, it's not a timing thing.
You could play around with that, and you could try grilling them on the top first with the cream cheese side down while it's still cold to get a little crisp on the top, because I think you're going to struggle getting that top of that bacon to be
crispy.
I've never done it the way you're trying it.
Right. Well, I've done it before that way. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, yep. And, you know, if I had more time, I'd do the whole thing in a smoker. And then they just kind of bake a little bit in the smoker and get done. But, you know, that's an hour and a half for them to be on there.
I like to core them when I do that. And
leave them whole and just
clip
the top off?
Yeah, core them and stuff them full so I can wrap them and keep flipping them.
Okay.
There's a trick to that, too. You have to start off with the pepper whole side up. And then you wrap the bacon over the top and then twist it around
like
it to kind of tie it into it. Yeah. And then that, you know, the cream cheese doesn't want to ooze off. I also brown like Jimmy Dean sausage and put it in with the cream cheese because I like a little meat and everything I do.
Right. Exactly. Including your pepper. But anyway, yeah, so those are easy little, you know, fix ahead type hors d'oeuvres that you can bring out whenever the people come around. I mean, that's the cool part about the holiday weekend. Is that you've got an opportunity to, if I've got some stuff all made ahead, you don't know when people are going to blow by and be hungry and you want to do a little something on the grill for them.
You know, and I still love doing those dates, though, that Chef Dewey taught us how to do, where you stuff them with, there's lots of things. Gorgonzola is a good one, or pecans, and then wrap them in bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon and date doesn't sound right, but I'll tell you what, a half slice of thin sliced bacon, and you just curl those up and... Oh, those are so tasty. People go nuts over that.
Yeah, and one of the tips there, too, is anytime you wrap, well, not anytime, but most of the time when you wrap stuff in bacon, you want the thin-cut bacon.
Yes.
Because you want it to cook and before the stuff underneath it burns.
Well, plus, if it's the real thick bacon, it doesn't want to, it wants to stiffen out and kind of come unraveled.
Right.
It shrinks so much. Whereas you get the thin bacon on there, it tends to like bond right to whatever the protein is that you're wrapping it in.
Yeah. So later in the show, we're going to talk about just some kebabs. Those are really easy to make ahead of time. You can do those with all vegetables, or you can mix your proteins in with the vegetables, and those are great marinated. So we'll dive into some of those recipes as well. But
yeah, we're going to reinvigorate a couple old recipes that were on the site too for Independence. The Independence Burger and the Independence Day Burger. They're two separate recipes.
Okay.
A couple of years apart in the building, but one's turkey and one's beef.
Oh.
You know, I was at an event recently. Oh, it was when I was in Sacramento at Whole Foods. They were grilling. There was a farmer there who raised a bunch of organic turkeys. And he had turkey patties that he was grilling up with just some seasoning on them. And he was grilling them up to about, I think, about 150. And those things were fantastic. So don't be afraid of turkey.
Yeah, cool. Coming up next, it's an Independence Day burger. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Satisfaction's been our aim since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Welcome back. This is the time the USA was born, and we're excited about that. It's the Independence Day version of the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob, and we're going to talk a little burger, brother.
Yeah, speaking of the birth of the nation, if you've never been to Philadelphia and Independence Hall and seeing the Liberty Bell and visiting that whole little area right there, it's a great family trip. There are all sorts of businesses that are era, you know, they're like there's a little pub right across from the Statue of Liberty that is everybody dresses in era garb, and they serve George Washington's beer and Thomas Jefferson's beer, the actual recipes, the food, and everybody, you know, all the ladies that wait on you have these big long dresses on and the white bonnets. It's pretty cool. I was out there a few years ago. I took my daughter Olivia out when I did the thing for Dick Vermeil, and we went there afterwards. And what a cool experience. There's so much history in that town.
So let's talk an Independence Day burger.
All right. Let's talk about doing some ground turkey. Take about a pound of this turkey and get whatever brand you like. If you can get a good locally ground one that's not too fine, it's nice. Some of them are ground so fine, it's really hard to work
with.
It's
like with a paste almost.
It is, yeah. It's like a pate. Then get some blood orange EVO, and you can get that Old World Olive Company or your favorite oil shop in your area. And you chop up, then you get some jalapeno balsamic. And I'll put the recipe is already on the Grilling Guys site. Finely chop some onions, and you get some finely shredded pepper jack. And finely chopped dried red pepper.
Those are the red pepper flakes? Give it a little heat?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And mix them together, and you grill them on a medium heat until 165 if it's a typical commercial ground turkey. Now, again, if you're going to grind up your own turkey or somebody's grinding some fresh stuff for you and it's a good meat, you might get away with a little lower temperature on that.
Right.
But don't over-grill them.
Never.
But the oil will definitely add to this. It's a fantastic. I can take credit for the recipe because I actually invented it, just came up with it. And, you know, you do all these things when you're throwing concoctions together. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. This one happened to work.
Yeah, and that oil that's in there is going to crisp that up on the outside too. And with when you do turkey burgers, I've experienced they don't hold together as well as a beef burger. So you got to make sure that you're not over flipping them. Let that thing cook on the one side till it releases. You can try to slide your spatula underneath it, and if it's still sticking a little bit, leave it alone.
So if you've got one of those little holders that holds the onion where you can dip it in oil and then oil your rack, if you don't have one of those, just take some paper towel, and it'll be hot. Put your grill mitt on, but take a nice chunk of paper towel, get some just cheap vegetable oil, and run it across your grates right before you put the patty down. That'll help it release.
Right, exactly, because if they stick, then they're going to fall apart, and it'll release when it's ready, and then you flip it over, do the same thing on the other side, and you'll be eating it.
So you've got some burger toppers. What topper would you put on that turkey burger?
You know what? I've got a honey mustard glazed bacon, and this, again, is something you can make ahead and just bring in a Ziploc baggie.
Yeah.
Right? So this is just, let's do a pound of bacon. And basically what you're going to do is take honey mustard sauce. You can get it from like Sweet Baby Ray's, or you can make your own or whatever you want to do. But you're just going to set that on a wire rack, the bacon, in your oven, 375. And you want to just put a little bit, brush some of this honey mustard on the bacon. Just let it cook 12 to 14 minutes at that 375 temperature. You'll know when the bacon's done, but what it does is it just puts that little sweet mustard taste on there. It comes off in the bacon sticks, right? Throw them in a baggie, and when you're ready to do your burgers later this weekend, that stuff will keep all weekend if you keep it in the fridge or on ice. Pull those out, and it's just a little X topper. Put a couple strips of bacon on top of your burger, and like, bam, now you're the gourmet.
Everybody does that X topper thing, but I always find it a lot easier to cut them in half and put them on there so that they're not like two Lincoln logs sitting on top of your burger.
Well, you like it hanging out a little bit for a fact, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a little more practical.
Practical.
If you cut them in half. And they go farther.
Yes.
Right? Because you're using one strip rather than two. Yes. And if you're feeding a herd, that's probably a better way to do it. But yeah, easy one, but make that ahead and bring it with you. And it's just like now you're just camping, and all of a sudden, bam, you got honey mustard glazed bacon on your burger. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to your party.
You can also take some brown sugar and mix in some cayenne with it and sprinkle that over your bacon, put it on a baker's rack, put a cookie sheet under it, bake that for, takes about a half an hour, and bake that up crispy. That's called bacon candy or pig candy.
Right.
And you can put those strips on a burger too. It's just a great hors d'oeuvre. I just like eating the sticks of bacon.
And the little bit sweeter goes really well with that turkey burger.
With anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So here's another one. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're adding new affiliates all the time. So for you new listeners out there, go to thegrillinguys.com. And if you look up in the top corner of that website, you'll notice a headset. That's where you can download podcasts. So every show we produce is available in an MP3 download, and we'll send it right to your phone so you can listen at your convenience, because it's not always convenient when we're on in your marketplace. But you can also follow us on Facebook, of course, please do. And I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. So Independence Day Burger, this is a different one now. This one is for beef. And it's to celebrate the independence of the United States, right?
Right.
It's a sure hit for the family and any activity you're doing. But this is going to be 2 pounds of some USDA ground chuck. Get the best ground chuck you can get, 80, 85. I like the 80. I'm old school, but 80 or 85% lean is good. Couple eggs, some Lowry salt, some coarse ground black pepper, garlic powder, a couple teaspoons or tablespoons, I should say, of Worcestershire, a cup of finely diced aged white cheddar or some blue cheese or shredded cheddar, and then 2 ounces of Jim Beam. And you mix it.
So you're making a bourbon sauce.
Yeah. No, you're mixing it with a meat, actually.
Okay.
And you mix it all together and make your patties out. Make sure when you do your burger patties, you indent the center of it so it doesn't turn into a meatball. And just throw those on a medium fire and grill them up to whatever. You know, if you're buying commercial ground chuck, be safe
with
it.
Which 90% of the people are. Right?
Now, some people go to their butcher. If you're going to your butcher, you can make it medium, medium rare. But if you're getting like bulk from a big place, you better bring that stuff up to like 145 at least.
Right. And again, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the digital thermometer is the best tool you can have in your barbecue kit, because the number one problem that everybody has is they overcook everything.
Yeah, thermopen, man.
You get a thermopen and stop your cook.
If you don't, and if you don't have a thermopen, go to thegrillingguys.com. On the right side, you'll see all of our sponsors. And if you click on any link, you click on any of the links, it'll take you right to their page. If you go to that thermometer page for thermopen, click on it. It'll take you right to their immediate sales, whatever's on sale. They've got those new versions on sale all the time.
The MK4s. They've
got a new Army green one that's really cool. Yeah. And then some of the money goes to Wounded Warrior.
Oh,
so cool. Yeah, that's very cool. But thermopens, we live and die by them here.
Right. Speaking of Wounded Warriors, Operation GI Barbecue is up and running. We are in September going to head out to Fort Pendleton in San Diego and drop our last two loads of these big American-made smokers and the charcoal and all the fixings, and we're going to bring a little taste of home out to the troops that are defending our country and they're headquartered at Pendleton.
Yeah, anybody doing long haul out to California, if you get any empty spaces, we need to put four skids on somebody's truck.
Right.
Or we're going to have to pay a lot of money. But either way, we still need to raise a little more money. Go to GIBBQ.com, and that money is run through Operation Injured Soldier. It's a 501c3.
If you've ever wondered about how to cook ribs on the grill, you're going to want to listen to this one. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I bear that cross with honor, because freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Jop from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. It's the Independence Day edition, and we're glad you're tuning in. Hope you're at your cottage or out in your backyard getting ready to throw down on that grill or that smoker or even a deep fryer. Did some deep fried fish this last week, Bob. They actually turned out pretty good. But I'm not a huge guy in deep fry because it makes me kind of get indigestion.
Does it?
I can never get all the oil off them enough. Maybe I try them at 375 is what I tried. Usually it's 350. I thought I might heat it up and might crisp them up a little bit. But for whatever reason, I eat them two or three times after I have them. And it's just like I love them when I'm going, you know, but the indigestion. I'm grease intolerant.
Maybe you, you've got a grease phobia. Yeah.
That all depends who I'm hanging out with. But, hey, you know, the number one thing that people try to grill and struggle with the most that we hear about is generally a rack of ribs.
Yeah.
So there's different kinds of ribs, racks out there. We'll break that down maybe a little bit, and then I want to give some tips and techniques on, hey, if you're looking to do a rack of ribs for the Independence Day weekend, maybe we can give some tips.
Well, and I think it's important to do this because it just seems like in conversations that I have with people who figure out who I am or just listen to the show or have been listening forever and never talk to us or whatever, just the one thing that seems to always come up is, man, I still struggle with ribs. I'm just not. And I usually ask them immediately, what are you cooking on? And invariably, it's the same thing. It's a very basic gas grill. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know that the average guy has a gas grill, and that's his primary grill for almost everything,
sure.
Right? So let's do it on the assumption that it's your very it's a basic gas grill. So you probably got a couple burners, I'm thinking, and they might
left,
go
right,
side to
yep.
side. They might go front to back. Either way, if you've got dual burner controls, it's great because you can turn one of your burners on and put your ribs on the other side, and that's called indirect grilling. What you want to do is to prep that rib is flip it over so that the bones are showing and take a butter knife underneath. And you get in between. If you notice, there's like a membrane on there. And you got to get that butter knife underneath that membrane between the bone and the membrane and kind of run it along that bone until you can pry it up and get underneath it. And then take a paper towel in your hand because these things are slimy. Grab it with a paper towel in your fingers and then slowly peel that thing back. When you get that back, it'll allow the flavor and the smoke to penetrate the meat better. So flip it back over. And slather some yellow mustard on it, cheap yellow mustard, basic.
And why am I doing that?
I don't know. It's tradition.
Well,
it helps the seasoning stick to it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that membrane on the back is going to come off in a sheet, and it's going to be a long rectangular sheet when you're done. Obviously, you throw that away, but it opens up the pores on the underside of the meat. The ribs are arched, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're ribs. So there's the crown side, that's the meat side, and then there's the cupped side, which is the bone side, that membrane's on that bone side. Now, before we get too much farther, there's spare ribs and there's baby back ribs. Maybe we talk about the distinction between those.
Yeah, they're $2 a pound.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But what it is they're higher on the animal. They're up near the pork loin is where the baby back ribs are. And as you go down the rib cage towards the belly of the animal, the bacon's on the bottom. And what's between the bacon and the baby back ribs are the spare ribs, right?
So when they say you're eating high on the hog, that's those baby back ribs.
That's right.
Where the phrase comes from. So it doesn't matter which one you're doing. You got to cook them all the same way.
Right.
It's just that the baby backs are going to have a lot more meat on them, right? So they might take a little longer.
Right, because what you're looking at is as that baby back gets up towards the top, you got that pork loin that runs along the top of the hog, and the butcher will take part of that loin and leave it on the top of those ribs, and that's the meat cap that you get on baby back ribs is actually part of the pork loin that's up there. When you get farther down, the spare ribs, that loin is not there, and you're getting just truly rib meat.
And then if you do buy spare ribs, you're going to notice that they're very wide and very big. On the bottom of it is a little bit of brisket meat and the riblets. So right. You if you want St. Louis style ribs, You'll take your knife and you'll cut them out so that you have a nice rectangular shape. If you want to just cook the whole thing the way it is, that's just fine too. There's nothing wrong with it because there's good meat down there. But it's a tougher meat and it's going to need a little more work. So we'll go through that. So in terms of seasoning for ribs, what do you like?
You know, I'm a little, I like to dry rub them so that mustard that we put on there is very light, but I only use it for the tackiness of it so that my seasoning sticks to the ribs. And I'm not a big spicy, hot spicy guy. I like a lot of flavor. I like some paprika, some sugars, brown sugars that are in my rubs. So I would buy just a commercial sweet pork rub, and there's hundreds of them out there.
Like along the lines of maybe a Kansas City style.
Right, and read the ingredients. If the first ingredient is sugar, you've got a sweeter rub. If the first one is like a cayenne pepper, you're going to get a hotter rub, okay? But try a couple of them, whatever your taste is.
Yeah, your first two ingredients are generally going to be sugar and salt.
Right.
And about any of those. Just buy them. If it's too hot for you, dilute it down with some sugar or whatever, and you'll use it.
Right.
Because you're only talking $7 or $8 a bottle, right? And there's a lot of good ones out there. So you can make them if you want. We probably have some recipes on the website. But honestly, I buy almost all my rubs. I don't try and make them anymore just because it's convenient.
Right.
I'm busy. I don't need to reinvent everything.
So let's talk.
I even buy my tires for my car. I know I could invent the wheel,
right,
but I just buy them.
So let's talk about the amount of seasoning that goes on the
rub. Go easy on them.
Right. Exactly. You don't need to kill it. You want to enhance the flavor of the pork. You don't want to hide the flavor of the pork. Liken it to this. Have you ever stood in the elevator when a woman gets on and she's just got a hint of perfume on and you go,
easy.
And then the next one that walks in has taken a bath in her perfume and you're like, oh, man, what's she trying to cover up?
Marge.
Right. So
okay, so put those ribs on the grill, not in the elevator. Put them on the jeez, I'm sorry about that.
You get the picture, though, right?
A little bit of seasoning.
Right. You put them on
those,
the grill.
Put those ribs on the side that the flame is not on. So if you've got two burners, three burners, put it on the cooler side. Shut the lid. Now if you're going to smoke them, you're going to have to get a little smoker box on there and put some wood chips. Or some people will even just lay some sticks right on their burner, some pieces of oak or hickory or something like that. You're going to have a mess, but you want to get some real smoke in there if you're burning with a gas grill.
Correct.
If it's a kettle grill, a basic charcoal grill, you got her made. You just push all your coals to one side, put your grate back on, and put your ribs on the cooler side.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to throw some flavor wood on top of your coals. Either way, what you want to do is keep your lid closed and have that smoke foil around your ribs for 2 hours, at least an hour's worth of smoke. If you're not smoking after an hour, it's okay. You don't need to keep adding wood to it.
Right.
But after about 2.5 hours, you should be about to the point, if you're running about 275, you should be running 250 to 275 on your temp. But after about 2.5 hours, you should be to the point where you have somewhere around 1/2 inch of bone sticking out.
And what do you mean by that is the meat retracts from the end of the bone and it starts to expose itself. That indicates because when it cooks, it shrinks.
He exposes right? himself in the elevator. So
only with girls with a lot of perfume.
So then what you want to do is wrap them in foil and put them back in for about another hour and use the tong test to find out if they're done. Pick them up by the end with a set of tongs and hold them out and extend them out. And as they start to bend down, if you notice that the meat is starting to break away, they're done.
Right.
Then you pull them out of the foil. You set them on the fire. You crisp them up just a little bit. And you slather a little bit of sauce and finish it off that way for just a couple seconds.
Yeah, no more than like 10 minutes with that sauce. Maybe you hit it two or three times lightly with a glaze. You just want to get them tacky.
You don't want to blacken it up.
Right? Yeah, well, coming up next, speaking of foiling things, we might be talking about some side dishes that you can do. Here again, we're going to make them ahead of time, throw them on when we're ready to cook. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
America! Make God thy golden. It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Independence Day version of the Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And hopefully this is a weekend when you're going to be grilling something, because probably the most popular weekend of the year in America for grilling. And Grilling Guys going to give you a little bit of tips and techniques here as we get going. Just got off the baby back ribs. Going to hit into the country ribs now, Bob. What's the difference?
Yeah, country ribs are, I was deceived almost my entire adult life. I thought they were really ribs, because that's all my mother ever made.
Right.
We never had ribs. We was po' folk. But country ribs are just, they look like a strip of meat, like a rib kind of, except there's a ton of meat on them.
Right.
And it's a sliced up pork shoulder, basically, is what right. It is.
With a bone in.
Yeah,
so there's
they
a little
saw
piece
them.
Of bone.
They saw them up. Yep. Yeah. And if you do them right, they're fantastic.
Uh-huh.
But you basically want to grill them. Kind of nice, you know, just grill them up nice, season them, grill them nice, and then throw them in a cake pan or something and cover it and put your barbecue sauce in there and then finish it off until they're like falling apart, because it's pork shoulder.
Right.
It's tough meat. But if you grill them up nice, get some smoke on them, and then throw some sauce in a covered pan, put them in the oven. Don't even bother throwing them back on the grill. Just put them in the oven at 350, 3 1/4, and let them go about 3 hours, they'll be fantastic. And nobody will complain, because that meat gets tender and beautiful, and there's lots of barbecue sauce, and there's lots of meat at $2 a pound.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Real meat, $2 a pound. Ribs, 70% bone at $4 a pound.
Right.
Not a deal.
Not at all.
No, because it works out to like around 10 or 12 bucks a pound for your meat, what little bit of meat you get.
So we're not worried about just bringing, like in a pork shoulder, we're bringing that up to 195 degrees.
Yeah, you're going to do that. You're going to do that with these too.
Okay.
Except you'll do it to tenderness.
Right. Okay. And they're covered, so you can stick your thermometer through and hit a piece of meat if you want, or pull the foil back, whatever you want to do. But
yeah, you can.
I'm not so concerned, I guess, about hitting that number with
these. You're going to take your fork and touch it and go, do I want that on my plate?
Right. Okay. Very cool. Well, a lot of times we get asked about side dishes, and I know this rubs you the wrong way, because for some reason...
No, I just have fun busting your chops.
You have an affliction to cooking with tinfoil, but one of the easiest things you can do for this holiday weekend when you got a bunch of people around and you're doing stuff on the grill is there's got to be something other than just meat. I could live like that, but a lot of your guests are going to want something else. So looking at just taking some
tofu,
some bell peppers, some sweet onion, Vidalia, as Bob calls them, and maybe some like little Yukon Gold potatoes.
Nice.
And cut the potatoes in half just once, and then the peppers, put them in there in maybe like eighth of a pepper. You just cut it in half and cut those all in half a couple more times. And then slice up your Vidalia onion in thick, maybe quarter to half inch slices off that onion. Obviously peel the outside off all of that. Put it in a little foil wrapper. And I buy these Lowry's. You can use any marinade you want, but they're like $1.99 at any store. And they've got a Hawaiian one, which has got some pineapple in it and other citrus juices. And I pour that whole thing in a little foil packet, tighten it up, and that can sit in your cooler overnight if you want it to set it ahead. But when you're ready to cook it,
it doesn't take up a lot of space either, so it's it folds and bends
right
around.
And you could throw some minced garlic in there if you wanted to for seasoning, salt and pepper, whatever. But when you take it out, you just put the whole thing right from the cooler on the grill, and then you move it around a couple times so it doesn't burn on the bottom. Be careful to flip it because there's a lot of juice in there, and if you don't have that foil real tight, you'll lose that all. So just I would just spin it around a couple times, shake it a little bit to loosen up the grills or the vegetables so they don't burn on the foil. But at the end of the day, you're steaming those vegetables inside of there. Super easy. You don't have to do anything with it. And when you're ready to eat, you pull it off the grill, open it up, the steam comes out, and you've got fresh vegetables that were marinated overnight.
Yep.
And you didn't have to hustle around and peel all this stuff while you're cooking.
And you could also, if you don't like using foil, you could use a Dutch oven.
Well, sure you could. Because you can cook almost anything in a Dutch oven. And I think it's been I think it's been 3 weeks since you mentioned Dutch oven. So, holy cow, we were on a hiatus there. But,
seriously, if you're at a nasty campground or something like that and you got your camping gear with you, if you don't necessarily like the thought of throwing foil in the coals or whatever you have to do, you can just throw it on a skillet, cover it up, and do that same thing on a skillet. And it might be a little more forgiving and easier to shake around a little bit because you got a handle on it. And the skillet never springs a leak. One of the things you got to be careful about with those foil packets, I always end up puncturing the dang
Double them up. Double them up. That's a good dress. Now, I'm going to do a little dessert now in the foil.
Dutch oven? Oh, foil.
No, well, you could do it in the Dutch oven because it's the same concept, right? But I'm going to take 4 peaches. They're just starting to come into season right now. Quarter those up. Take the pit out. Some 2 or 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, sprinkle them on top of there, and a couple pats of butter I want in there, right? Spread some cinnamon on there, put it in a foil packet, cover that up for about 10 to 12 minutes on the grill, and that just enough to melt the butter, combine the sugar and that cinnamon on there on peaches, just going to be fabulous. Easy little dessert. Double that recipe, triple it for the number of people that you have, but you got cinnamon, butter, brown sugar, and peaches. Cannot go wrong. Super easy, but really delicious dessert on your grill. Wad up the foil. The mess is gone after you're done, and you're back to fishing or getting in your boat.
Oh, I see why you like the foil now.
Yeah.
You don't have to do any dishes.
There you go. I don't wash my Dutch oven. Wait, I don't use my Dutch oven.
You don't have one. that sounds pretty good. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Dutch Oven Talk Network.
Right.
We are broadcasting from Michigan, wherever you're receiving this show, through your local station. Make sure you support those patrons that sponsor this show in those markets because of all those great sponsors, we get to be on the air in your market. So we appreciate that. You can check us out on Facebook.com/ The Grilling Guys. And make sure you hit up our website. If you have any questions, it's actually a blog. It's a WordPress site, and you can post comments, and we'll answer them, sometimes not so timely. But you can hit a link there where it's contact Jop. If you want to ask Jop about his tinfoil magic, you can just go on there.
or you can email Bob, and you might find something about a Dutch oven. Almost everywhere you would comment with him. But that's because it's the universal barbecue
tool.
I think I really became more enamored after I went to the Lodge Factory. That sealed the deal for me.
Yeah, I know. It's like the Holy Grail.
It
you
is.
Were there.
It
yeah.
is. It's huge.
Right. Oh, man.
Don't touch it.
I got one more for us.
Okay.
Let's talk about kebabs real quick. They're easy, but there again, it's the make ahead, right? Whether you do little pieces of chicken with onion, red onion, sweet onion, bell peppers, you want to put hot peppers on them. I'm not so fond of the tomatoes because they tend to burst when I'm cooking them, and then you got this juicy mess all over and you're not eating a tomato. But the point is, a couple things on kebabs. You want to take and you want to soak the little bamboo skewers so they don't burn. Just soak them in water for an hour or two before you put the food on them. Secondly, you want to cube the meat the same size throughout the kebab, because if you got a big old chunk on one end and the little ones on the other, by the time you get the big one done, the little one's overdone.
If you go to our website, you can look up a recipe called Charlie Jabor's shish kebab. He's my late father-in-law, who's 100% Lebanese. I learned to make shish kebabs from him, and I have passed that gift on to Joppy.
Oh, they're amazing.
It's a great recipe.
And it's a marinade recipe is what
it is.
And it's for beef.
And lamb,
right. So it's just fabulous. But that again, there's something else you can do a couple days ahead of time.
No, well, I was just going to say, you want to be careful with this marinade. About 4 to 6 hours is all you want to do with it.
Right.
I've done them overnight, and the meat just absorbs way too much of the vinegar. So,
yeah, but where I'm going is after you get a marinade, do them a day or two ahead of time, put them in a plastic container, like a Tupperware or whatever. And as long as you keep those cold, they'll keep there 2 or 3 days on the stick. When you're ready to cook, when the people are around, you pull them out, put them on the grill. Make sure you get them done.
Okay.
But make sure you get them done. And
if you don't have the room in your cooler to do them on a stick, you're probably not going to have room for a vegetable pan either. But they make some really cool little baskets and pans for your grill that have holes in them. I've done shish kebabs a few times lately because I'm tired of skewering stuff.
Right.
I'll just put the cubed up lamb or venison, whatever it is, and the peppers and onions in that grilling basket. And then I'll throw the tomatoes in the last couple minutes
so
they don't overcook.
Good idea. We're going to bring this train to the station. Got one more little segment. Might hit some more barbecue toppers and a little bit about our GI barbecue effort. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Yes, you are a man. Even if you're a woman. That doesn't make any sense. Today's man law. Men can comment on how much they enjoy manly smells of things like a baseball glove, a new set of tires, the smell of gunpowder,
love it,
campfire, sawdust, that's one of my favorites, and barbecue grills.
You know what? I'd throw one more in there. Freshly cut grass.
Oh, yeah. Fresh cut hay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Those are just distinct smells, all of those, man. Yeah. It's like, oh.
I'm not fond of freshly cut grass.
Oh, I am.
It reminds me of a chore I hate. But fresh cut hay, yeah, I love baling hay.
Oh, man, you're telling me.
And that's
me,
the worst chore. Yeah,
I was going to say.
I know, but it brings me back to childhood instead of, you know, what I should be doing right now.
Right.
My lawn looks terrible right now.
Well,
I'm not even paying attention.
You're in
this
the middle
year.
Of a remodel, though, so
not,
your lawn's going to look like crap for a month.
The weeds are like a foot tall.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Mow around that pile of boulders there and that giant pile of sand. Just let it go. You can get it later.
Oh, dude, we dug up so many boulders when we dug that hole.
Right.
It was, and when the guy hooked on with his great big crane to that big hickory stump, that was a 45-minute battle.
Wow.
It was so cool. It was epic. We're all, like, standing around, and he's, like, really under the gun now because
he's got spectators.
We're all watching. I'm a morning spender a whole day just like sitting, looking out the window, watching dig the hole. She just loved watching the machine.
Sure.
All those, you know, bare-chested men working out there. I think that was good for her.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's good to dream. Yeah.
But so I want to talk about National Anthem decorum because people don't necessarily know how to respond to the National Anthem when it's played, sung, whatever. So the designation is the composition consisting of the words known as the Star Spangled Banner. That's a national anthem.
Right.
And I just pulled this offline. Conduct during playing. This is the part that people kind of wonder about. During a rendition of the national anthem, when the flag is displayed, and this is different because sometimes the flag's not displayed. Normally it is. But when the flag's displayed, individuals in uniform give a military salute at the first note and then post at the end of it, which is snap to finish off the salute. Members of the armed forces and veterans who are present but not in uniform may render a military salute if they're wearing a cover. So if you have your hat on, you can salute. All other persons present should face the flag, stand at attention with their right hand over their heart. Men not in uniform, if applicable, should remove their hats. Okay? So if you're a civilian and you got a hat on, remove your hat, put your right hand over your heart. And when the flag's not displayed, you should still stand and face towards the direction the music's coming in.
Very good.
It's interesting.
It is.
You know, people hear it once in a while but don't necessarily know. So, you know, if you see a guy in civilian clothes saluting, he's a veteran.
Right. Speaking of veterans and active, we'd like you to help us out with our GI barbecue effort. Barbecue Bob and I are going out in September to Camp Pendleton in San Diego, and we need a little funding to bring us over the finish line here. Y'all have been so very generous. As you know, 100% of the proceeds go directly to this effort. Nobody takes any money off the top of this thing whatsoever. Qualified 501c3 donation through our operation.
We've raised around
soldiers.
Yeah, probably around $70,000 in cash and product.
Right.
So it's done very well. The first load went to Fort Bragg. The second two loads are going to Camp Pendleton. So forts are Army, camps are Marines, bases are Air Force.
Right. So I got one last little tidbit for you before we go, and that is I've got a peanut butter bacon sauce that you can make, and you're going to laugh at me, but this one is fabulous on a burger.
You've made it.
I have.
Simple, you and Elvis.
Simple. Third of a cup of crunchy peanut butter, 3 crumbled bacon slices, and a teaspoon and a half of sugar and a pinch of cayenne pepper. Mix that up, put it in a bowl, take it with you. When the burgers come off the grill, slather some of that on the top of there. You're going to be thankful that I told you about it. We appreciate you listening to The Grilling Guys each and every week. Have a safe holiday weekend. We'll be talking with you next week. Never looking back again. They're coming to America. Home. Don't it seem so far away?